morning I want to talk about a subject that you're going to find rather strange. And as I thought about it, I found it strange myself. But it kind of indicates where I would like for this church to go in the next 12 months, or as long as at least I'm alive and here. And I don't know that from one second to the other. My wife and I eat out quite often at Olive Garden. I'm not advertising them, but I just like to eat there. And generally when we go there, sometimes there is an exception. You'll always have somebody having a birthday. And you know, they all get the waitresses and the waiters, and they all get over there and they surround the table where the birthday party's going on, and they'll sing this little song made up for the Olive Garden crew, I guess. It's not the happy birthday that everybody knows. And usually the person looks surprised or embarrassed, or nobody I don't think has ever looked angry. But they don't know where to grin or to smile or to hide. But anyway, some folks all around the tables, they even join in, you know, and they clap. And then it's all over and everybody goes back to eating. I guess you could call most of these surprises. If they knew they were going to be done that way, they wouldn't go to the Olive Garden to eat there on that day when somebody takes them out for a birthday dinner. Probably on the way home, they may ask the question, who got this idea up, and who had these people come over here and serenade us? Who knew all about this but didn't tell me about this surprise? Not in anger, but just out of curiosity. I'll tell you who the first person to know about that birthday surprise was: God. When did He find out? When we discussed it? No. No, God knew about that birthday surprise at Olive Garden before He ever created the earth. You say, wait a minute. Man, you just got through losing me on that one now. And I know that sounds strange to you. We have a strange God in many ways because we can't figure and fathom His uniqueness. And His uniqueness sometimes makes it very difficult to explain a very simple little idea like this morning I'm going to try to explain. We're told that God is omnipotent. That's a great big old word for a little bitty boy like me. Omnipotent. And it just means that God's all-powerful. He can say a word and create something with a word. I can't comprehend this kind of power. Jesus said, with God all things are possible because He's all-powerful. And then there's another word of omni-words. He's omnipresent, and I can't understand how God can be everywhere at one time. This baffles my imagination. He's inside of you. He's inside of me. Fully inside of me in the Holy Spirit. I don't have a half Holy Spirit. You don't have His finger, and I got His toenail. I mean, we got a full Holy Spirit, power, intelligence, all. We got it all. You can't divide the Holy Spirit up in pieces and ship Him one way or another, and you get some, me get some. He's everywhere. And I don't understand how this can be. How can God be everywhere? Then there's one more word. Omniscient. And that means He's all-knowing. All-knowing. And it's His being all-knowing that means He knows everything that can ever be known. And He's always known it. Now that just blows my little old mind. I just cannot be. He knows the future because to Him it's already the past. He's already seen it. Look at just a few scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 1. Strange verse. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. We have an awesome God. Verse 4 it says, Jeremiah is the one being addressed, and he says, the word of the Lord came to me, that is to Jeremiah, and the Lord said, this is interesting, even before I put you in your mother's belly, I already knew you. And before you even were born, I already sanctified you. And before you even were hatched, conceived, thought of, I already ordained you to be a prophet. I'm way ahead of you, Jeremiah. And we look at that. First person that knows that I was going to be born was God. When did He find that out? When my mother got pregnant? No. Before the world was ever created, He already knew I was going to be born a Brunson. He knew my name would be called Billy. Really, William. He knew that too. He knew where I'd be today and where you'd be today. And He knew before the world was created. Strange. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? Now notice this, folks. He chose us in Christ before the world would even be formed. I was already chosen before the world was formed. Verse 5 says He predestined you to be His child. For there was ever any such thing on this earth as children. Acts 15:18. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. In other words, God is all-knowing. God never has to face the unknown. Never does. You can't catch Him off guard. You can't catch Him unprepared for the future because it's already past history. It's already known. I kind of picture in my mind, He's already seen the movie and now what you have is the rerun. That's kind of what life is in my simple way of explaining God is all-knowing. He's done seen the movie and now He sees the rerun. By this logic of mine, He would have to know that Adam and Eve were going to fall before He put Adam and Eve in the garden. So why do you say that? Because before the foundation of the world, it was already established, the Bible says, that God the Son would come to earth and die upon the cross that false man might be saved. That was preordained before Adam and Eve ever sinned. The Savior was already declared, prepared to come. So God knew Adam and Eve was going to sin. It was already decreed the Son would come and save those among fallen man that would allow Him to do so. There are things about the garden story that still surprise me. Not God, but me. The first surprise is that God made Eve out of man's rib. That was a real surpriser to me. And we don't think much about it, but that's quite a feat. You know, quite a feat. That was a surprise to Adam. He said, I'm going to put you to sleep, boy. Anna said it. And when you wake up, you're going to be minus one rib and plus one wife. And when Adam woke up, he said, wow, wow, wow. You know, that's quite a little feat. I am truly surprised at the handiwork of God. My second surprise was that God would allow the devil in the garden. I can't figure that one out. Why, God, would you let that scoundrel get inside the Garden of Eden? That was a surprise to me. Didn't seem to surprise Eve. It didn't seem to surprise the devil. I mean, Adam, I don't understand that. The third surprise to me was that God tempted Eve instead of Adam. I don't know why He picked on Eve. Well, she's the weaker vessel. I don't know about that. I don't know why He picked on Eve instead of Adam. My fourth mystery is, why did Adam, who was standing right nearby to Eve, why didn't he tell the old devil, hey, leave my woman alone, boy, and get out of my garden? I'm surprised that he was such a coward and meek mouth that he let the devil work his wife over. Most men don't normally let you do that. You just don't mess with another man's woman. I'm surprised that Adam just sit there and let poor old Eve do the battling all by herself. But I find today most men in the family let the wife try to raise the kids, make the kids religious. They shirk their obligation and their duties, and they just turn it all over to the woman. You take care of all the problems that the devil's going to raise. I got my newspaper and my TV. I'm not going to be bothered about you. Most women end up in that position. They really do. We got a problem, go to mama. No matter what the problem is. And that's not the way God originally desired it. Adam should have been the one that jumped right in the face of the devil and told him, leave her alone and you get out of the garden. I'm surprised he didn't do that. Fifthly, I'm surprised that the devil convinced Eve so easily that he was telling the truth and God was the liar when the devil didn't make anything. I mean, God had a lot going for him, the whole creation. He could look around and God made it. What did the devil make? Nothing. What were his credentials? None. What do you have to back up his story with? Nothing. He didn't have anything. I'm surprised that Eve would buy his story and reject God's. And then, sixth of all, I'm surprised that Adam agreed to eat the fruit handed to him by Eve. You know, the devil tempted Eve and Eve tempted Adam. And I'm surprised he put up no resistance to the idea of eating. These are all surprises to me. Not to God. He knew all this was going to take place, but it is a surprise to me. I guess nothing, if God is all-knowing, surprises the Lord. That means He knows everything in advance, and so you cannot surprise Him. So the world began as God knew it would, and is going today exactly as God knows it will. But God has a plan, and He's injected into that whole scenario of the movie. The reruns got God's work stuck into it. Why didn't God scrap the whole thing before it got started? That's the mystery that I have a hard time comprehending and answering, but God is a unique God, and I'll give you a theory on why I think He let the show go on. I may not be right in this. God created the angels, which meant now there were some creatures that God had created that could understand God. And as you understand God, you have reason to love Him and praise Him and glorify Him. You have to know something about Him before you can glorify Him. And so their attributes, God's attributes that the angels could praise were limited. And they knew nothing about the wrath of God. They knew about His holiness. They knew about His power. They knew about, I guess, His knowledge. He was a wise God. But they didn't know anything about God's wrath until some of the angels, led by Lucifer, rebelled against God. And they saw a side of God they'd never seen. The angels saw the wrath of God, that God can get angry. And they saw the justice and judgment of God. They've never seen that side of God before. And the angels that sinned were cast out of heaven. And the angel that had not sinned said, "We now know something more about our God. Boy, is He a holy God." And they glorified Him. What did the angels sing? "Holy, holy, holy." I mean, that really is impressed upon their mind, because the unholy angels are out. But that's not the whole story of God. And so God made man, and man sinned. And then God did something that just, to put it in the vernacular, blew the mind of the angels. They had known the love of God in the sense that He cared for them and took care of their needs and brought them happiness. But they had never seen the mercy and grace of God. Here was something new. Never before seen. For when the angels experienced the wrath of God, there was no mercy and there was no grace shown to those fallen angels. They had no hope. And so the angels that remained alive, and not all remained alive, but those that remained sinless and with God, they saw another side of God. Because I think they thought God was going to strike Adam and Eve dead on the spot, and that would be the end of mankind, but He didn't. And they saw a side of God that they had never seen before. A side of God that you and I alone will see. They will never see it. And that's a puzzle to them. Why would God show mercy and grace to man, but He won't show it to the angels that fail? It's still a mystery, and it's still a surprise that makes the angels scratch their head. I don't understand. But God has grace and God has mercy. And now the revelation picture of God is complete. Some talk about the Bible as a surprising book, and it is. It's just filled with stories of surprises. But they're mainly surprises that God gives us. Not all of the happy birthday, Merry Christmas kind of surprises, but some of them are. Some we could just as well do without. Some are unpleasant surprises. I think it was a surprise to Adam and Eve that they got pitched out of the garden. That really surprised them. It was a surprise to them that the wisdom they thought they were going to get to make them like gods didn't make them like gods at all, but made them worse than ever been. I think they were surprised at the judgments that God pronounced upon them. I think even the devil got a surprise there. He got a judgment he didn't think he was going to get. But God's grace also gives out surprises. As I read Scripture and think about it, the joy that He gets out of surprising people. And one of my prayers is, God, would You please surprise Parkwood? Would You please surprise this preacher? Just give me a surprise. Any level, any, you know, nickel, one dime, one quarter, 50 cent, dollar, $50. But would You give us a surprise? You like to give surprises. Give me one. Abraham and old Sarah. way beyond the age of bearing children. And one day, like old Gomer Pyle, surprise, surprise, surprise. You're going to have a baby, Sarah. She ha, 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 ha. And the Lord got kind of angry about that. Said, your wife's in there laughing. But it was a surprise. It'd be for you too, folks. In fact, it would be for you to do. Then there was Jacob. One day the news came down the road. My son Joseph is alive. And he's not dead. And I thought he was. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Moses standing with those sheep. All of a sudden the bush burns. And it does not consume. And God says, surprise, surprise, surprise. Wouldn't you like to have some surprises? I would. I would. Children of Israel came to the Red Sea. What are we going to do? The Egyptians are behind us. And God said, surprise. And the water parts. And they go through on dry ground. We're hungry. And quail fly in on time schedule for the evening meal. Surprise. Manna falls in the morning. Every day. Surprise. They get water out of rocks. Surprise. We go throughout the entire Bible. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fire furnace. And God is in there with them, the fourth man in the fire, and he burns the cords off their arms, but doesn't singe their hair. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Our God is a God that seemingly takes joy in giving surprises to His people. Why? Grace and mercy promotes surprises. You know, folks, I really believe we look for some kind of proof of God's love for us. And sometimes that proof is in the form of a surprise. I read a book that said God enjoys every day dreaming up surprises for us. Won't you look at John 14, 1 through 3? I know the time is late. I'm about through. John 14, 1 through 3. You know this text. It's a shame it's always used at funerals, but it's not a funeral text. But I want you to note in the whole text, it's nothing but a story of a promise of surprises. The biggest one of all is talked about in the 14th chapter of John. Let not your heart be troubled. And you and I say, boy, that's easier said than done. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. Now here's a surprise. I go to prepare a place for you. I wonder what it's going to be like. I'll tell you this. Everything you will see and know about your place, it's going to be a surprise. And I believe He's spending more time preparing your surprise, your place, than He prepared this earth. We got bigger surprises coming than we've ever seen Him do on this earth before. He's making something more for us now than He made for Adam in the garden. I believe the biggest and best surprises are yet to come. And Jesus is kind of humming away up there, I'm doing this one, and I'm doing this one. They'll be so surprised. They'll be so glad that they love me and follow me. I'm going to surprise them. He is all-knowing. What does it take to make me happy? He and He alone knows the surprises to give me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. In other words, I'm going to come get you, and I'm going to take you to the place of surprise. That's a new name for heaven, the place of surprise. But the question I want to ask you, and the thing I want to preach on, do all the surprises have to come from God? Can I give God a surprise? You say, now, Betty, I mean, you know the theology you've already preached. If God is all-knowing, then you can't give God a surprise. And I thought about that, and that saddened me. Sorry, Billy, you just can't give me a surprise, because I'm all-knowing, and you can't surprise somebody that knows everything. And I thought about that for a while, and the Lord just sort of said, no, you're right. You can surprise me. But I said, Lord, how can I surprise you? You know everything. And I wrestled with that subject last night, way hours in the morning. You know, part of the joy of life, people, I guess some of my greatest joys in life is watching the face of somebody that you give something to that is totally a surprise. It's worth the cost. Have you ever watched a wife's face when you bring her home flowers and it's not Valentine's Day? Something surprise does something to people. I guess that's why get well cards from somebody you never dreamed will send you a card is a real surprise. I didn't know they cared. I didn't know they even thought about me. What do you know? I never dreamed that they would send me a card. Have you ever written a love letter to your wife or husband after you got married? Boy, that would be a surprise. But you know, that is the things, or that are the, yeah, that's the things that makes memories that one holds dear in the latter years of their life. A visit to someone that is lonely and they haven't seen your face in years. And they say, what a surprise. It's been so long. What a surprise. Well, can you give the Lord a surprise? I was helped with my question in Genesis 3. And what I'm going to say is not going to make a lot of sense. I know that. But I'm convinced what I'm saying is something the Lord led me to understand about this surprise. In verse 8, Adam and Eve had sinned. Now keep in mind as we read these words, God already knew they were going to sin. He already knew what they had done. He knew where they were. He knew what they were going to say. There's nothing that's going to take place that God does not already know. But as you read the account, you wonder, well, God, why are you asking all these questions? You already know the answers. This doesn't make any sense. You're acting like you don't know what's going on. And they heard the voice of the Lord. God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse 9 has always puzzled me. And the Lord God said, Adam! Adam, where are you? Now he knew where he was. He knew where he'd be from all eternity. Why did he ask that? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And then he asked him another question. God knew the answer. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Another question. Have you eaten of the tree that I commanded you not to eat? He already knows. You already know that. Why did God act surprised? But he did, didn't he? I mean, to me, God knew all the answers, and yet he acted surprised as he talked to him. He acted surprised. Look at Luke 15:10. Luke 15:10. I say to you that there is joy in the presence of the angels. Whose joy is this? I would assume it has to be the Lord's. He says, it's in the presence of the angels. Doesn't say the angels are doing the rejoicing. It's the presence of the angels. I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Well, God knows who's going to repent. I mean, he knew that from the foundation of the world. And yet, he acts surprised. The word comes up from heaven, deliverance and just got saved. And it says here there's excitement in the presence of the angels. God's all excited. How can you get excited when he knew billions of years ago? Oh, good brother, what do you say to me? That's no news to me. What else is new? But no, God acts surprised. And the angels are sitting there looking at all the surprise that God has. And seemingly he is really excited. And I say, how can this be, God? You already know it. You know, it's old hat, it's old news, it's stale. God, seemed to press my mind, he said, I don't act like I know all things. I act surprised when things happen to take place. I live as though I don't know in my relationship with people. David was a man that I believe of all people in the Bible wanted to surprise God more than anybody. And that's why you have so many psalms. David says, I'm going to surprise you. You're not looking now, and I'm going to write you a love song. Don't you look. And when I get through, I'm going to sing it to you. And the Lord said, thank you. That was a surprise. You did it for me, and I'm surprised. You say, well, God's just playing the game. Maybe so. But I believe with all my heart it's a game he wants to play. You know, it'd be a surprise to me and to God if you came to church tonight. I mean, a real surprise. And then on Wednesday, it'd be a surprise to a lot of folks if this church doubled in size in a year. A real surprise. It would to me, and it would to God. And I think it's a pleasing surprise. This church has guns it's never fired. Wouldn't it be a surprise if we finally start firing some guns? We have a devil we had never attacked and never whipped and never defeated. Wouldn't it be a surprise to him if we turn the world upside down and start blasting him? Wouldn't that be a surprise? We've got mountains we've never climbed in this church. Wouldn't it be a surprise if we started climbing a few? We've got doors we've never entered. Wouldn't it be a surprise if we even knocked and tried to go through them? This church has never really found out what it can do because it's never really tried. And I think the greatest surprise would be, number one, it just starts trying. Just starts trying. We have places to go we've never gone. People to touch we've never touched. And it'll be a surprise if we ever do. I'd like to give God that surprise. I can't think of a better one to give him. I believe it's one that he's pleased with and he would enjoy. I believe this church is just full of surprises. I really do. From the pew to the pulpit, folks, we have never really floorboarded old Parkwood. I mean, she's trying to chug along about 20 miles an hour, spitting and sputtering, but we have never floorboarded this booger. We really haven't. You know, we've complained, but we've never given the old buggy the gas. We've never stomped on the pedal. Never gotten reckless. Always been safe and secure. What would happen if we tried to surprise ourselves and surprise the Lord? What can you do? I'll ask you another way. What can't you do? If the Holy Spirit will help you, what can't you do? I'd like to see the old pedal down on the floor. Well, you're kind of reckless around here, I don't know, but the pedal on the floor. And nothing on the brake unless we just have to, but on the floor. And let her rip. I tell you what, it wouldn't only surprise me, and it wouldn't only surprise you, and it wouldn't only surprise God, but it would surprise the devil. He is not ready for that. He's not ready for that. And it would surprise the world. Nobody's talking about Parkwood. Well, they ought to be talking about Parkwood. Being on fire for the Lord. I think it also surprised the flesh. Because the flesh says, you hadn't got it in you, buddy. I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you mash your foot on the floor. I'm going to keep you doing about 20 miles an hour. I'm going to keep you in the doldrums. I'm going to hold you down. Boy, there's a lot of surprises possible, folks. And I hoped that I could get in on as many as I can. I'd like to surprise the Lord. I really would. Well, He knows. I know, but I still like to. And I like this old church to floorboard it. I really would. Go all out as far as you could go. Rather burn out than rust out, as the old saying goes. That's my dream. That's my vision. I'd just like to see what this church can do. All out. Really get after it. I believe we could turn the world upside down. Father, we're thankful today for your love for us. And we're going to need, I'll say I'm going to need, all the help that the Holy Spirit can give to get me above 20 miles an hour. I'm going to need all the help that I can give somebody else to put their foot on my gas pedal. Lord, I pray this church from this day forward begins to get the idea that we've got the engine and we've got the gas and we have the knowledge and all we lack is the willpower. We have the rest of it. And we just pray that you'll bring that willpower into our mind and our heart, and that we'll make it as a goal. I just want to surprise the Lord so bad that I'm going to do something and get reckless. And I'm going to do things that I know would just please His heart. I pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.